11, land disposal program update.
This is a report that we provided periodically. I guess we have been providing it annually for the most part. One of the things we indicated here in terms of our work on prioritization that we're doing it all across the office, including in this program with budget cuts and reduction in staffing, is that we're proposing to have fewer such updates. But certainly if there's anything that's newsworthy, we'll bring that to you. But I think this is one of the most, if not the most comprehensive report I've seen. And so, Taya Tryon, thanks for leading the effort with your unit and providing this report. And I hope you all found it as informative as I did. Covers a lot of ground, provides a lot of information on several of the priority sites, a couple of the medium and low priority sites. And then in the back, you can see in this table with the white pages, you can see how staff has tried to really take a closer look at prioritization, figure out where we should be focusing our effort. And like I say, they've discussed some other changes in here with regard to focusing more on inspections, especially on liner inspections. You only get one shot at a liner inspection because then it's covered up, and fewer updates with more on-the-ground inspection work and follow-up. Any questions on our – you didn't intend to provide a presentation, right? Okay. Any questions on our report?
Mr. O'Malley.
You can even tell by my look now. I don't even have to raise my hand. That's wonderful. Just, I did think this was a very well done report, yeah. and very educational. And I was wanting to confirm on the summary table in the back, is that inclusive of every site in our region?
I think the answer is no. In that there are a lot of, and Taya can answer this more directly, but there are a lot of informal dump sites. Sometimes we get, you know, some information about them. So
would those be non-permitted or illegal sites?
Right.
These would be all permitted sites in our region.
It's not all permitted sites. Can you come up and clarify that, please, Taya?
Good morning, Taya Tryon, Land Disposal Program Manager. Those are all the sites that we have information on. There are some other illegal dump sites that we don't know who a responsible party is, so there's no information on them, so they're not included on that list. But if you'll notice the one column, it says whether they have individual or general WDRs, and those are the ones that we have permitted, which is, I believe, 23 individual and 32 general, and then the rest we don't have permits for.
Okay, and I guess what I wanted to make sure is that if a land disposal facility is in our region and they have a permit from the water board, they're on this list. There
right.
might be others, but if they're permitted, we have them on this list.
Absolutely, yes.
And Taya, then what happens with those where you have not been able to identify a responsible party? Are they on another list, and do we do anything about them?
Well, we have evaluated, like if there's a complaint that comes in, we will evaluate that complaint and then determine whether we need to do follow-up action or not. A lot of the complaints that come in, then we evaluate them, and either don't regulate that type of thing, or I'll send it to the waste board or to the county, and we don't get very often complaints on those.
Okay. I would just want to make sure that if there was one that was impacting water quality.
Oh, they're on that list. They're on this list if there's one that's a threat to water quality.
Where we don't have a responsible party identified?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. Thank you for this excellent report. I wonder if you could, I thought we would get a report as we normally do. So I thought I didn't present my questions in advance. But one question I did have was, could you characterize, just briefly, the 12 high-priority sites? What are the common issues and problems that you're focusing on? And is there any one of the 12 that is particularly troubling in terms of managing and getting on top of the problem?
Well, the highest risk sites, they usually have concentrations in groundwater above MCL, or they have impacted or are getting close to domestic supply wells. For example, Crazy Horse is probably one of our top landfills because in the past it has gotten close to domestic supply wells, and so we forced closure on that particular site. So as you read through the program update, we did prioritize based on, you know, health risks, threat to water quality, and they mainly relate to the siting of the landfills. A lot of the landfills were established prior to us requiring liner designs, and so they have some portions that are unlined, which are usually the areas that leak. And so some of those sites that have shown increasing or concentrations above MCLs, those are at the top of the list. And some of the other ones that are on the top of the list is, for example, if they're coming up to needing to expand. So we know that we're going to have to put a lot more time in evaluating liner designs, going out there to inspect to make sure the liner is installed correctly. So it's based on a yearly basis on where we think most of our staff time is going to be spent.
Any other comments or questions? Mr. O'Malley, go ahead.
Yes, and I'm going to be slightly redundant because I want to make sure I understand this. But again, first, my understanding is if they're permitted in our region, they're on the list. And if they're not permitted, but staff have found them to be a threat to any waterway in our region, they would be on the list.
Right.
And I hadn't thought of that you may also get complaints on maybe just an illegal dumping along the road or something. That's something you would look at. And what's the threshold that you would consider it a problem, if I may? I'm assuming the range could be someone is composting on their own property, natural vegetation. That's not an issue. There seems to be a reoccurring site where folks are dumping trash along a road. It might come to your attention. Is there a threshold or anywhere you have criteria that would kick it into that not permitted but a threat to a waterway that would become a focus of attention?
Well, if, for example, composting facilities, we don't regulate that under Title 27. However, we would evaluate that site, and if there is a threat to water quality, it's usually related to stormwater-related issues, and then we will pass it on to our stormwater program to evaluate and implement BMPs, et cetera.
So larger-scale composting facilities, again, wouldn't be someone that would be permitted, but if there was a problem, it would become an enforcement issue.
Right, and if a waste is disposed and there is a possibility of a threat to water quality where, you know, water quality objectives would be exceeded over time, then we would regulate it as a disposal site.
Okay, and so then let's say it is a composting facility, large scale, and not necessarily a landfill, but there would be some threshold that it might become regulated as a landfill.
Well, the compost facilities are regulated by, used to be, California Integrated Waste Management Board, but it's now called Cal Recycle. So they take the lead on all compost facilities, so they need to get a permit from them. And we have stormwater permits that are required by composting facilities. And if a compost facility is actually on a land disposal facility property boundary, like we have some of our landfills that actually have composting operations, we actually regulate it under our WDRs for those particular sites.
Okay. Would there be a similar list of all-inclusive stormwater permits for where there isn't an overlap that for facilities that don't appear on this list?
I'm not aware of a list.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, there's the industrial stormwater permits, right. So I would think we would have that.
But there's probably not a list on landfill stormwater overlap.
Right.
While you're here, again, I just thank you. It's a very comprehensive report and educational and nice document to have. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank my staff because it was definitely a team effort.
Very good. Thank you.
Taya, how do we archive this kind of information? I mean, I know if we go to the website, we can go under, you know, the board agendas, and if you knew where to look, you could pull this stuff out. Do we have a separate link for items like this? Yeah.
Do you mean the agenda or the actual information
on
each site?
Yeah, the information, you know, the land disposal program.
Right. Well, we have all hard copy files for a lot of these older sites, and we're right now working on building up our GeoTracker website to put in a lot of the information on these sites. So these sites are in GeoTracker. I still have to do some data cleanup, but all of these sites are in GeoTracker, and we're in the process of uploading information.
But how about the report, like this report itself? If you didn't know that this report came through on this agenda and you were a member of the public and you wanted to look at the history of these status reports?
Well, it's not right now on any of our websites, but we can post that on our website under landfill program. I think that's a good idea.
It would be.
Well, it's under board meetings right now, but
right.
We have a separate land disposal program link
right.
That we can upload it to.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem like that would be almost a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's a good
because
idea.
Because it's so the information is so comprehensive and great that it would be helpful to the public, I think, to be able to, and us if we wanted to, you know, late at night when we're reviewing something, you know, want to get the information. I mean, that's where it should be, I would think.
Excellent suggestion.
Yeah, but also with some of these other items that we've got where we have dedicated links on the website,
mm-hmm.
I typically just look at the, I'll pull the agenda off myself and get my attachments through the agenda link.
Right. Well, for example, with the stormwater program,
right.
You know, that's another link we have on the
right.
First page. And when you click on that and then you go to the stormwater program, it has archived stuff. You know, our infamous February, what was that, 08 or whatever it was, letter
right.
And
right.
The June letter. And
right.
So it has a lot of those key
right.
Documents.
I know that link is particularly comprehensive. Do we have links for all of these other categories, like low threat and general discharge cases, perhaps? That should be a link where the status reports are just archived.
Yeah. I'd say no.
Okay.
We have the general requirements, you know,
right.
Listed, but I don't know if there's a place other than going to GeoTracker where
right.
Where you could get the individual sites on our website.
I would hate to give staff more to do than it may not have time to. Is it something that perhaps going forward this stuff could be uploaded and a link created?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, it's kind of a no-brainer in terms of having a report like this
right.
On our landfills to put that on an existing page. We've already done the work, and it's
yeah.
You know, that's easy.
Right.
To do something more elaborate for all the cleanup sites, talk
right.
About that. It might just be that a link to GeoTracker would be the best.
Okay.
Bet.
And I'm just referring to the staff's reports.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think for something like this, that's easy to do for any program.
Right. Okay. Well, and I'm thinking of enforcement because we get typically a enforcement report with each board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Low threat and general discharge cases and the cleanup cases, things, those categories, since they're continuing,
right.
Ongoing,
if staff's reports could just be archived that way.
Right.
I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
So, okay. Any other board comments or questions on this item? Great. Thank you, Taya. Great report. All right. We will move on to item